So blowing, you want E minor sixth. Here, I'll do it for you. part. That's the hooey part.
Okay, I got it.
Where's the drummer? There ain't nobody. He's on the phone. Well, you're not. Where's the guitar player? Come over here and hit these chords. You still haven't got that, hear that lonesome whistle blowing. Cross the trestle hooey.
All right, let me try.
You want to do it? Ninth. Here we go. That's it. That's the ninth. E flat minor.
F7.
B flat. Got it? You got that E flat minor in there? Okay, start out E flat ninth. When I go back up, it's E flat minor six. I start with E flat ninth. That's where you go to that E flat minor six. Then quickly to F seven. He's on the phone. Where's Dave? Get over here. Nobody's listening to us. Why should I talk? Everybody's trying to get something free. And if I was taking up an offering, they wouldn't call like this. I gave him a word. You can only get the book tonight, but I might as well have some fun, too. I've been reading hours and hours of messages. Want the book, want the book, want the book. That gets boring. I learned this song, then we can play it in Nashville. Oh, You gotta go from F minor. You gotta get those sixth in back there, Dave. You got that? I mean, when we get to that part, you put those minors and those sixth in. Is up there to your right. Gotta do it again now.
He did it.
I think we can play it now. Sammy.
Arpeggio!
You're being paid, Sammy. Came right back. I mean, when I get here, you put him on the rack. Well, I'm still talking about my play. I'm telling you, if that play is as big a hit as I think it is, it's going to make its own contribution to solving budget problem around here, I'll tell you that. You know how much money you can make with a hit play? A bunch. You know what somebody told me Cats is grossed? And all that is just a bunch of painted up men and women reciting what T.S. Eliot said about Cats. It's good, but you know, frankly, you know, I'd rather see a cat be a cat. And if you enjoy looking at dancers, why smear cat paint all over them? He's got some philosophy, you know. T.S. Eliot's spent a lot of time on cats, I guess. Tell me it's gross about 200 million. You know what, just the filmed release of Give 'Em Hell, Harry, Pull Down, grossed about 12 million. I mean, we're talking big bucks. Now, theater's kind of in the doldrums. About time they have a new voice that doesn't play by the rules. Yeah. Normally, you know, you have a play, if the critics don't like it, it dies. Me, I'm out there telling everybody how good it is. You don't have to just listen to critics. I even read parts of it and play all the parts. And if it sounds good with me playing all the parts, man, is it going to be a wham-a-ram-a-zoo-zoo when you get the real actors in there and the full orchestra and all the drama. Sent Mark Travis today, talked to the agent of one actor. He carried a stack of calls about that high. You saw the actor's eyeballs turn to dollar signs and start going like that. I mean, not the actor, the agent. He says, a hit, isn't it? Mark Travis came back and says, I think we shouldn't have done that. They're liable to charge too much for the actor. I says, Mark, you're working for me now. You go right back to that agent. Recarve his asteroid in the shape of a four-sided pyramid. And tell him who needs some big-name actor. We're either going to make a small-time actor famous because I'm going to put the crowd there first. What the actor does after they get there is his problem. Now, some famous actor will either get an annuity by getting smart, or some unknown will become famous. Because I don't think I'm right, I know I'm right. I've been testing the winds out there of what people like for 10 years. And these asteroid heads been peddling this junk to you and telling you you ought to like it. I know what people like. I am the living world expert on what people like. They watch me live more than anybody in this world. I am out there where the people are. I don't need some dumb head critic. Critics better come to my school. I'll teach critics what people like. Critics only like what critics like. And who in hell likes what a critic likes? I hate critics. I like what people like. I'm people. Critics aren't people. So I said, you go back to that agent, you say. In fact, I said, you call the actor himself and tell him Gene Scott wants to talk to him. His agent will get his little old cut. You know, they're like pimps. I'm either going to make an unknown actor famous, or some famous actor will get an annuity. And you just go tell them that nobody getting a bigger percentage of this thing than me. You take what I get and be happy with it. Or to hell with you, I'll play all the parts. Seems to be working. You see? Now, unless they get too scared, I couldn't afford it. I couldn't afford to play the parts. Cost me too much to be gone from here. But this play's a winner. My people are smart. I've been reading what they've been saying. And I haven't even got to the best part yet. Plus fact, you know, I was reading last night so I wouldn't stop. But you're in on about the second draft. Time I polish this thing about 15 more times. People don't want to stand up and cheer every 5 minutes. You know, there's little old refinements you put in. Like, I got real mad when I was reading last night because this was supposed to be typed and a whole paragraph was left out. Because part of some of the sensitive things that are in it, you know, there's an awful lot of inside humor and jokes that are in this. It's like, what are you doing? Are you going to count me down? I don't want to be counted down yet. But go ahead and do it, you know. You just may never hear what I was going to say unless you buy the ticket and go the first night. I'll be right back. Oh. Hello. Hello. Glad you finally got here. I'm still talking about my play. You know, the reason I'm going to open in in Dallas. We'll get back to Los Angeles later. That's my home. But Dallas right in the middle, where people can fly for opening night from all over. We got people flying from the East Coast and the West Coast for opening night. But I'm telling you, I don't think we can spend more than one more night on it and have any opening night seats left. We're filling the theater. Opening week's going to be a premium. But as I was saying when we were interrupted by Dallas and Rochester, there was one real sensitive exchange here that was supposed to have been rewritten, and it, I happened to have a page that wasn't the rewrite. So it's a lot better than that page was. I just went ahead last night. But you may see us, you know, rewrite certain little sections in the front. You ain't going to get me to go any further than I went, because I was just getting to the best part of the play when I quit. No. 10 years experience at dangling. If I ever had something to dangle, this is it. You remember that little poker bit, too, where they were so happy while they were singing? And he said to Fats, I wish you'd have brought your band, we'd have played some poker. Remember that line? That wasn't retyped in here either. Because that's where Fats said to him, yeah, I hear that you ain't that much against gambling. I heard that Bernard Baruch bet Harold Ickes $10,000. Bucks is what Fatsy says. $10,000 that you'd win election this term. And you did. Is that story true? And FDR says, yeah, it is. Because we were moving into the area where we get these little big nets of history. And then Fats says, I also heard that you made Bernard Baruch share part of his winnings with you when you won. Is that true? And FDR says, one never knows, does one? Or do one, however it is. Anyway, he repeats it exactly the way Fats always says it. There's some real nice, to the history buffs that know that area, you're going to really be turned on. Because you get it through the black humor frame of reference and the Hyde Park frame of reference as they begin to discuss some of the characters of 1942 and their predecessors. Now, I was taking calls and reservations. I'll tell you, there's less than 100 seats left for advanced reservations on the first night in Dallas. And I'm going to honor them. We got all these messages dated, and brochures will be printed up, and we'll send you advance notice, and you'll be given the right first come, first serve, buy those first night tickets. Then we'll sell second night tickets. Everybody knows when first night's going to be, December 7th, 1985. Now, I was saying when I was interrupted, we have contacted some actors direct who will obviously, by contract, share with their agents. We've contacted some other agents. Today we had an interesting experience. When we showed the list of calls, advanced reservations, as a result of just talking twice about it, the eyeballs of the agent starts going like this. And he says, you got a hit, huh? And we said, yes. Well, it's an agent's job to start negotiating for his actor. And it's my job to make an agent experience the first real meat grinder he ever stuck his little nubbin head in. Because I know what I got. I got a play, doesn't need a director. It directs itself. We'll make some unknown director real famous. Or we'll provide an annuity for one that's smart enough to not get too greedy going out the gate and recognize he shares with the whole gene. We got a play that's going to make a couple of actors real famous. You know, there are a lot of good actors nobody knows about. They just don't have the name to draw the crowd. I'll do that. I mean, I've already given this play $1 million worth of advertisements. If you had to go buy it, I'll give it probably $20 million worth of advertisement by December 7th. You know, come on, give me the competition. Theaters get greedy, by cracky, we'll buy one, won't we, folks? This play is going to make some money for Gene and the Lord. So just since everybody watches me, this is sort of doing a little preventive discussion to make the negotiations easier when they come around. Don't underestimate old Genie boy. I don't need any of the trade-offs that are normal to the business. We run our own show. We're fair and we're generous. But all you actors that are watching me tonight, you tell your agents, if Gene calls you, don't get greedy. Be smart, but don't get greedy. Or you'll be watching the Tonys passed out and say, my good God of mercy, we could have been in on that. Applications of the intelligent start here. Now, word to the wise, sufficient. No, I'm not going to read any more of that. I heard today the attorney for Blues Alley in Memphis is coming out on the 18th with 4-5 to my birthday at Beverly Theater. Isn't everybody going to Beverly Theater on the 18th of July?
Sure.
Park on the north side of the street.
August.
August 18th. Another month just come and go around here. And this one just sneaked up on me. August 18th. Beverly Theater, park on the north side of the street. If you like to pay tickets, park on the south side. If you want to park free, park on the north side. July 18th, 11 o'clock, Beverly. You gonna remember it now? I wish I could say I planned it that way. August 18th. North side. You park on, you enter on the south side. You park your bodies on the south side and your cars on the north side. Of Wilshire in Beverly Hills, the Beverly Theater, August 18th. Now, there ain't a reason in the world that you can't fly here from every city. The attorney for Blues Alley just proved it. They're coming in and they're going to be there. You ought to fly from everywhere and come to my special super birthday Sunday. You say, you want any presents? Yeah, I want the last of the third million. You got that on your calendar too, haven't you? But then Paul, the owner of Blues Alley, must have been listening because they are planning a big Gene Scott birthday party at Blues Alley on August 14th, Wednesday night. So Everybody in Memphis, that's my friend, go to Blues Alley on Wednesday night, August 14th. Now, won't they be surprised if I just walked in? Wouldn't they be surprised if I just walked in? I got a fast jet, you know. They're going to have a birthday party for me. You say, Are you going to be there? Well, one never knows. Do one. Now that's the announcements. Now there's one more. I'll be preaching at King's House 1 Sunday at 11 o'clock. And I think you ought to be there too. And we still got a little bit to collect for July. So I'm keeping July open and taking one more collection for July from the people that intended to pay a double portion and just neglected and then said, well, July is over now. I won't do it, I guess. I'm being nice to you. I'm going to keep July open another day. And you can still participate in the double portion. Now, with all those announcements out of the way, I got about 100 seats left. If you're going to get in on the first night advance reservations in Dallas, you better get on that telephone. December 7th, 1942. And you may say, well, I don't know. I just tuned in tonight. I could have warmed my brain up a little bit. December 7th, 1985. A little applause for that now. December 7th, 1985. Now, some of you may have just tuned in and said, I don't know. First, I don't even know what year it is. But I don't know what the play is you're talking about. Well, I wrote it. That's all you need to know. You know, it's a good one. I didn't write it by myself. In fact, I didn't even have the original idea. Frankie Ray did. But I got in on the act, and we together authored the play. We're still working on it. In fact, it's better than most right now. But we're not satisfied. At least I'm not. It's going to be better. You thought it was pretty good the way it was, didn't you? You ain't seen nothing yet. Now, if you watch me, you know it's going to be good. And if you ever been sorry for paying those big ticket prices for a play and going, wish you hadn't gone, you can take it out on all of them now, but going to one that everybody that misses will wish they'd seen. Now, if you don't know what the play is, you don't need to know. I helped write it. That's all you need to know. And if you don't get there the first night, you're going to miss a historic night. I mean, those autograph programs will be collector's items. About time. Somebody, you know, we got people writing movies with messages, and people writing plays with messages. Well, you got to have a message to be able to get away with things like that. About time somebody that knows something writes one. What are you waiting on? Get on the damn telephone. I've said everything I need to say now. You got 15 minutes to gobble up those 100 seats. And to tell me you'll be at the King's House Sunday, and to tell me you'll be out at the Beverly Theater August 18th this year. Now get on telephone. And the play opens December 7th, 1985, Dallas, Texas. You say, where? I ain't ready to tell you yet. We may need a bigger theater than we'd previously thought. Get on the telephone. And I don't want to hear from any agents. I only talk to principals. Get on a telephone. A player want to know. I know what people like. There ain't a man in the world could get away with playing as many times the same song as I've played to want to know. Nobody dreamed that people could be made to like those guys as much as I've made them like. I got another announcement. But I think I'll wait on it. Play "I Wanna Know" again. Everybody's favorite song in spite of themselves. Here's Westminster, Colorado. That place sounds pretty good. What do you mean, pretty good? It's terrific. San Mateo, I love your show. I hope your play is a great success and that it comes to Northern California, and anybody in their right mind would be happy to pay $50 a seat. Henrietta, Georgia, new watcher, says this is really interesting. He watched last night and really enjoyed listening to a preacher. First time ever. Said he remembered the number and was still thinking about last night, so he wanted to call and say he likes it. I want all you Memphis friends of mine, on August 14th, go down to Blues Alley. They're going to have a Gene Scott birthday party. You say, are you going to be there? Well, we'll see, won't we? Play it again. Only two. We already got one we're very sure of, and pretty close to the other one. Oh, I just love it. This is just wonderful. This is plum wonderful. This is plum wonderful. There's really something, something. Never saw anything like this. Play it again. In your station. You want us to come on earlier. You gotta write your station. Got that? Not enough to call, you gotta write them. I want you also to tell me you'll be in the Beverly Theater on the 18th of August. Beverly Theater, Beverly Hills, is my super birthday Sunday. I started my birthday already. So I will be warmed up by the 18th. One more time, I'm going to play that wonderful song that everybody wants. I have to disappoint you after a while and quit playing it, but I'm going to keep making you happy for a little while. Well, Fort Worth, will Doc ever do a show on how rock and roll affects children? Just makes them want to move around, that's all.
Preachers.
A whole bunch of other places, too. A whole bunch of them. Memphis, Escanaba, Green Bay, Portland, Bay City, Flint, Saginaw, Steubenville, Pittsburgh. They all joined us right now. I want to thank all the folks in Columbus that called the station today. My time buyer called me today and said he had talked to the station, and many of you were calling and saying very nice things, and I appreciate it. A lot of you called and said, we don't know what we watched, but we sure did enjoy it. Now, I'm sure what they want to know is, did you or did you not finish that story last night? Because I was at a very exciting point when we went off in Columbus. And they listened to the Star Spangled Banner while I was still going with the rest of you. Now, did I or did I not finish? We'll see, won't we? I'm also taking reservations for my play, you know. When we join you in Columbus, Ohio, we've already been going half a night. I mean, we're so worn out, we're silly by the time we join Columbus. You should see us when we're at our best. If you think this is bad, we're tired by the time we get to you. Now, I have some announcements. I'm sorry that Columbus is so far away and you have to sit through the announcements. That's what I said. You watch me longer and you'll have a better idea. Talking to you won't teach anybody about anything about me. Tell that fella if he'd watch me, he'd learn something about me. Talking to you ain't gonna learn nothing about me. I can't figure these people out. Here I am sitting letting it all hang out, and they're calling on the telephone and say, tell me about this man. Who in the hell do you think can tell you better than me? I mean, you just watch me a while, you'll get progressively more confused and you'll have more reasons to call those people and say, what's going on? I mean, you can't even carry on an intelligent conversation about me to listen for a week. But when you listen a week, you're going to have a whole mouthful when you call these people. Of course, when I want you to call, you better call, dang it. I got an announcement for Californians. Sunday morning, I'm going to be preaching at the King's House, like I always do. Sunday morning. Shut up. Good, I tell you what. In preparation, let's get spiritual for Sunday and let's do Amazing Grace to settle you down a little. But before we do Amazing Grace and get on to reincarnation, and I was getting ready to read tonight, I was going to teach on King Arthur tonight. You know, I don't care what all these other people tell you. King Arthur was a descendant of Joseph of Arimathea. That means England's greatest king was a Jew. Put that in your pipe and smile about it. I know that. Do you know that? Let's learn how to talk Southern here. Do you know that England's greatest king was a Jew? Yeah. Well, you ought to know that. If you don't know that. Now, see? That fellow, if he had waited, he had something else to ask you about. I got announcements for California, and Columbus is going to have to wait. They've waited this long, so... I'll be preaching Sunday. That's when I put on a three-piece monkey suit and look like the rest. But God help me if I ever sound like the rest. Sunday morning, 11 o'clock, in the King's House. Tell me what that person's saying to you, so I can get in on that conversation. Ask that lady what that person's saying to her on the telephone. Who are you talking to? Good. Tell him if he'll listen to me, he'll learn real quick. Tell him just hang up and listen to me, and he'll be smarter than his dad in about 2 years. Now, who else is on the telephone around here? Anybody else on the telephone? I mean, I want you to call when I want you to call, and I want you to uncall when I want you to uncall. Getting ready for, hey, what Gloria? She has to preach all night long. Who in the world are you talking to, Gloria? Hiding up there under that hat. She's hiding up there under that hat. Who's she talking to? He wanted to go to the play and take his wife. What'd you hang up for? I would have talked to him. What in the world you hang up for? I would have talked to him. You got to have a sense of priorities around here. Why can't you feed people? Why can't you people figure out what I'm thinking before I think it? What I said.